May I speak in the name of the one loving, living, liberating God. Amen. It probably goes without saying, but the Apostle Paul looms large in the New Testament. His story is the stuff of legend. Once a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law blameless, his radical conversion on that Damascus road made him the best known emissary of the way of Jesus in the first century and beyond. After all, we even named churches after him. And yet, despite all his zeal, his credentials, and notoriety, the story of the early Christian churches, which he helped establish, is less than ideal. In today's epistle, Paul expresses his frustration loud and clear. I cannot speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as infants in Christ. Even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh? I haven't seen too many arguments go well when someone decides to call somebody else a child. It's safe to say that he doesn't exactly deal with the situation with pastoral tact. The first letter to the Corinthians should be sufficient proof that it doesn't take long for a community to show its true colors, warts and all. It doesn't matter who the leader is, the excellence of their plans, or the wisdom with which they lead, conflict is bound to arise. Among the early Christians, of course, those in Corinth took the first prize. Of the many things addressed in this one very long letter, Paul mentions disputes over appropriate community practices, sexual immorality and broken relationships in the community, class and status divisions as people gather around the Lord's table, tensions between Jews and Gentiles as they try to come together in one community, and factions over leadership. Are you of Christ or of Paul or of Apollos? Needless to say, no stone is left unturned. There are a variety of ways to deal with conflict, of course. And I would say that all of them have their place. Whether waiting for consensus to take shape, the long road, but maybe one of the more rewarding ones, or trying to figure out how to compromise the give and take of decision making, or even occasionally avoiding a conflict for the sake of a greater goal, knowing when to pick your battles, so to speak. I think what is much more important to remember about conflict and disagreement, however, is to recognize that conflict can actually be a productive thing, an opportunity for creativity and growth. Most of us have experienced conflict's painful results, increased stress, strained communication, broken relationships. It is often harder to discern the ways that we might grow in the midst of difficult conversations. So, as I read the letter to the First Corinthians, I wonder what it looks like to turn conflict on its head, to allow it to speak into our lives, asking the age-old questions of the practice of spiritual direction. Where is God in all of this? How is God pushing us to grow through it? Paul was well aware that disagreements would arise in the journey to love God and neighbor, and we would be wise to know that that is a fact of life. Instead of providing a step-by-step plan for dealing with each and every situation, Paul beckoned, encouraged the Corinthians on their way to a higher calling, to great courage and humility in the midst of strife, as we rest our hopes on a love much greater than the one we can muster on our own. In the beautiful words of Paul himself, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but it is God and God alone who provides the growth in the middle of strife. The challenges along the way are part and parcel of that refining fire that binds our destinies together, the way in which God reveals the best of what we are to the world, a people who reflect Christ's presence in the world, even in the midst of strife. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This past week, I attended a meeting along with George, who's not with us today, with pastors across Wake County. It was a meeting to discern how we might bring our communities together across everything that divides us. About 1 million people living in Wake County nowadays. To partner together in order to bring about a more just and more loving society. I don't know what will come of this meeting, but let me tell you, I'm sure conflict will be involved at some point. I was reminded in that meeting about a passage in Corinthians that concerns the good of the community, a passage often taken out of context for weddings. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. In the face of division, God can bring a reconciling world. In the face of fear, God can bring forth love. In the face of despair, God always, always brings a ray of hope. For now we see through a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. For now we know only in part, but then we will know fully as we have been fully known. Be strong and of good courage, my friends. God needs you, all of you, for the good work God intends to do in a deeply divided world. Amen.